have for us. Help us, Lord, to walk in a manner worthy of what you've done. Lord, we can never repay, but we can give you what you desire. And that is every bit of our being, body, soul, and spirit. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the hope we have in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First, I'd like to thank Sandra for getting together all the artwork out there and the kids for all the great artwork and others. What a joy it is to use our gifts in those ways, so thank you for that. Thank you for Chris for helping out, getting the, we put a, on Good Friday, we robed the cross in a black cloth, and that's signifying, obviously, the death of Christ on the cross for us, and then it's shrouded with a purple one today, and seeing that blow in the breeze, and the cross looking over all that we do as a church is a very important thing. We've been talking in Genesis about two paths, a path that acknowledges God, a path that acknowledges that he not only exists, but he created us, and we're to walk by faith and walk with him, and that blessings and abundance come through that. And then there's another path that says, nah, I don't really need that. I'll create God in my own image. I'll do whatever I want, and I'll expect God to just kind of leave me alone. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of that separation. And we see throughout Scripture how God has remained faithful to always provide that way of salvation. So, how do you get a story about the resurrection from Genesis? Especially, how do you get a story from Noah and his ark? Because the Bible likens the salvation that we have in Christ to what happened on that ark. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. But God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that saves you now. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's something that that ark pictures. First, we see that the character of Noah is shares some of the character of Christ, characteristics. At first, it says that he is a, it tells us in 2 Peter 2:5 that he is a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. For myself, I grew up going to church. I've shared the story many times. Knew all the stories, and I was a shepherd in the Christmas plays and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, at times the word wasn't clearly preached. It wasn't until I was 17 that someone actually shared with me that Jesus Christ was God. That God sent his only son, and he would die on the cross for our sins and raise again. And not that it was a fable or some kind of cool story, but that I was individually responsible for that truth. That I must do something. So in 1 John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. That it wasn't just going to church. It wasn't just going to Sunday school. I was part of the youth group, and I was a good kid most of the time. And I'd do whatever I wanted to do during the week, but every Sunday, there I was, sitting in church. And I thought that's what really saved you. And I think this, I think that's what people in Lake County think too. If I just fill this list, I got it, I'm dialed in. And they're wrong. And I know they're wrong because the Bible says that's not how you get there. Other thing that Noah, how he was like Jesus, it says, it tells us in 6:22, And Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. And we know that Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled the perfect will of the Father. said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to hang out with those sinner guys. And, you know, the Zacchaeus guy, he's kind of dodgy. I want to hang with him. No. Even in the garden when he was going to face the cross, he says, not my will but thine. I have to say that's probably where I get into most trouble in my life. When I'm saying, no, Lord, I want my will, not thine. We see that the ark itself is a picture. The ark itself, it tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, is a picture of our salvation. And here's a couple things that I know about it. First, it's a picture that God wants to provide a way of salvation to escape the judgment that is upon mankind. It says those outside, there's only one way, and it's inside that ark. It's interesting to me, in Genesis 16, he had Noah put how many doors on the ark? There's just one door. Friends, there's only one door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 10:7-9, verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and by me, if any enters, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture. There's only one way, and that might seem to be, well, boy, you Christians are being judgmental, or you're being, no, we're trying to be accurate. It's pretty important. It's not like, well, if someone asks me, well, how do I get to San Francisco? Well, there's a lot of ways that you can get there. You can go over 175. That's my preferred route. Or if you don't like the windy part, you can go on Highway 20. You could go over Calistoga. I guess you could go on Highway 20 to Williams and go the long way. Or I guess if you wanted to, you could go to Eureka and then turn around and come back the other way. I think sometimes spiritually that's what people are doing. They somehow think, well, I'm just going to find my own way, and then they wonder why they get lost, why they get stuck into things that are unsatisfying. And Jesus says, hey, follow me. This is the way. Another thing we see of how the ark is a picture, it's a picture because it says in chapter 7, verse 16, then the Lord shut the door. The Lord shut the door. I don't get to choose how long I will live. Irene, it was really quite a precious thing to spend those in the last month. A lot of challenges, but you know what? She loved and knew the Lord. I wish I would have had a tape recorder of some of her prayers at the end. They're just so powerful. She knew the Lord. There was no way around it. I mean, but the fact that she didn't get to choose the day that the Lord took her home. The Lord said, it's done, come home. He came and received her. Friends, God's the one who shuts the door. And because of that, we know that time is of the essence. Time for our church is of the essence. We must be more serious about sharing the truth that Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. And individually, we must take upon ourselves, because that's what Jesus has told us. They go and tell the world, make disciples. Now, we want to look at this. Interesting. There's a mystery here, and I want to read it out of Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. Now, the flood's already taken place. Ark's filled with animals, floods come, okay? So here we are. Verse 9, but God remembered Noah, now verse 1 of chapter 8, but God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark, and God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. Also the fountains of the deep and the floodgates of the skies were closed, and the rain from the sky were restrained, and the water receded steadily on the earth, and at the end of 150 days, the water decreased. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested upon the mountain of Ararat, the mountains of Ararat. He said, well, so what? Well, here's what happened quite a bit of time later. In Exodus chapter 12, Moses, by God's directing, changes the actual calendar and says, now the first month is going to be the month of Nisan, okay? Now, what's the significance of that? Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a real big numbers person, but if God puts them here, why in the world would he give us a calendar date of when it landed on Mount Ararat? Here's a coincidence. Jesus Christ raised from the dead on the 17th of Nisan. I said, well, that's a coincidence. Ark lands. I said, well, any other things where I see this? Well, first of all, I like this picture. I like that kind of art. It lands. Wow, that's good news, because maybe in Noah's mind he's going, wow, I hope God's still up there, because if I'm just floating around with all these beasts in this big box, this is not going to be any fun. It was, in fact, that first sense. The rain stopped, it descended. Now, how would they know it descended? Because they landed. God says, hey, I'm under control. I got this under control. Interesting, another time where the 17th of Nisan comes up. The nation of Israel was in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves. They're crying out. And God raised up Moses. And at the end, God says, well, they had the situation of that Passover where it says, listen, get your family together inside and get the blood of a lamb and shed it over the door. And the death angel will come by and you'll be saved. They were saved. They got to the Red Sea. And said, Lord, they're chasing after us. What do we do? He raised up his staff, part of the Red Sea. You know what day it was? The 17th of Nisan. Later on, they would set up a feast the third day after Passover. It was called the Feast of First Fruits. We'll find a verse later that talks about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, the first fruits from the dead. Here's another time the 17th comes up. Remember, they wandered around for 40 years in the desert. God gave them manna to feed upon. They get to the Jordan River. They cross the Jordan River. And it says on the 16th, the manna stopped. And after that, it says they ate from the produce of the land. Here's another example. The time of Esther. The book of Esther had a difficult time making its way into the Bible. Why? Because nowhere in the book of Esther is God's name mentioned. But friends, God's there anyway, because he has a miracle. Esther is a beautiful young woman. She is in they're kind of a beauty contest because the king, he's wanting to have a new bride, and she wins the beauty contest. There was a wicked guy named Haman who says, you know what, I want to wipe out these Jews. I hate them, because he hated a guy named Mordecai, who was a Jewish man. On the 13th day, a decree went out that Haman had written saying, destroy all the Jews. Mordecai would come to Esther and say, we've got to do something about it. And Maybe God has raised you up for such a time as this. You know what happened is that for 3 days, Esther prayed and she fasted. And she said, boy, I'm going to go in before the king. And she just couldn't walk in before the king because you couldn't do that. You'd get killed. So she said, well, if I perish, I perish. But she stood outside, and the king, sorry, come on in. She says, I have a request. He says, up to one half of the kingdom, I'll give it to you. What do you want? And ultimately, Haman's terrible plan had been found out. And the gallows that they had planned for Mordecai went to Haman. You know when that was? The 17th of Nisan. The Jews today celebrate the Feast of Purim. Now, I'm not, like I said, I'm not into numbers, but here's what I am. I'm into what God is trying to tell us. And here's what God is trying to tell us. He desires to save his children. And he desires for us to enter into the promise. Can you imagine what life was like before they crossed the Red Sea? They were in bondage, being beat up, being ill-treated. Boy, they go through the Red Sea, parted. You think they ever forgot that? Yes, they did, actually. Unfortunately. Just like we forget, don't we? God even had them build a little altar on the other side. They even wrote a song about it. Can you imagine what it was like to eat manna for 40 years? Now you have Passover, and then from that time on, they would eat the fruit of the land, the fruit of the promised land. You ever think, do we have any verse? Oh, we so long for the manna. No. No. But sometimes Christians, we somehow do. We somehow long for, it was so much better or whatever. God would save the nation of Israel from destruction during the time of Esther. The greatest picture of God's salvation is not the ark, is not a parting of the Red Sea, it is not the Feast of Purim, it is not the stopping of manna. The greatest is this, it is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I, for one, I have to realize, Chris Moe and I, as we were getting prepared for the Good Friday service, of how many times I find that I'm so preoccupied with other things that I forget the preciousness of my salvation. Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 8 says, on that first day of the week, that's the 17th of Nisan, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In the fright of the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you? While you were still with him in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. 1 Corinthians 15, 20-23, but Christ is indeed risen, been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who had fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of death came also through a man. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all may be made alive, but each to his own turn. Christ the firstfruits then, when he comes, those who belong to him. From the greatest victory of all these things were signposts pointing us to the fact that God has not left us alone. I'm not sure exactly what any of us are going through in our lives. There's turmoil and hurt, sometimes weariness, things before you that seem so overwhelming, body, soul, and spirit. But I'm here to tell you that today we, of all people, have hope. It is my prayer that in the year to come, for all of us, including myself, that our devotion and love and dedication to the Lord grows. Why? Because that's what He desires. Here's what He would say. Get out of the ark. The ark saved you. The ark saved Noah and his family and all those animals. But you know what? They didn't stay there. Ultimately, the ground would dry, and we'll talk about this next week and how, you know, a raven was sent out and then a dove was sent out, and finally the earth began to be rejuvenated, revived. And sometimes people just, they just kind of stay in the ark. The Bible says repeatedly, let us move on from these elementary things. I do not believe that Christ died on a cross just to save you. God sent His Son that He may create for Himself a family. We receive Christ. We give the right to be called a child of God. The cross is not just about salvation. It is about a relationship with God. You were saved to have a relationship with Jesus. How's it going? Can you imagine staying in the ark? It's probably ready to get off by the end of about almost a year's period of time. Can you imagine the duties on board? Yeah. Imagine what it was like. The rain stopped and they were able to open up the hatches, able to get out and go, wow, now this is life. Jesus Christ wants you to experience the abundant life. And that starts by you coming to Him and receiving Him as Savior and Lord. We confess our sins. We repent. Lord, I've been going my way. I've been like Cain, who said, I'll do my own thing. We had to say, Lord, I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to walk with You. I'm going to come to You by faith. And the joy of Easter, the joy of the resurrection is this, that Jesus Christ paid it all. There's nothing more He can do. There's no more love He can pour out. It's already there. It's just pouring over, overflowing love. Right now, I believe it's up to us. Will we receive it? Will we walk in it? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, with all humility and gentleness, and patience with a forbearing spirit towards one another, maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. He's called us to a relationship with Him. And it is my prayer that this next year, each one of us get closer to the risen Jesus, get closer to the risen Lord. And that this year, we determine, Lord, if it's just one person that I'm able to share with, and that person says yes to Christ, that I can help them grow, help them be established in their faith. And if every church in Lake County, every believer in Lake County, simply said, Lord, use my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for Thee. Every opportunity that I have to bear witness, to be kind, to share the love of Christ, those are seeds planted. And today is the day of salvation. The door of the ark is still open. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us as we walk with you, to know that you paid it all. There's nothing more that can be paid. Now, our desire is to walk and serve you in spirit and in truth. Oh, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness for the times that we slip up and we are less than you desire us to be. But we thank you for your forgiveness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to end with this song.
Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to take us from this place filled with your Holy Spirit, filled with the power of the resurrection. Oh Lord, thank you that as we've studied today, that you are a very present help in times of trouble, that you, Lord, are the God of salvation. Lord, we turn over to you all the challenges of our life, all the things we wrestle with, knowing that you are the one who promises to come through. We lay these things at your feet. Lord, help us to be your people. Help us to, by our own lives, Lord, to draw people to your presence and glorify you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a great day.